In the Alaskan spirit of neighborliness and goodwill, let's share another look at what's new among your neighbors in Alaska. At 9:30 o'clock, January 15th, it's another edition of Tundra Topics presented by the Bank of Fairbanks as another service to its many patrons all over the territory. Charles Awe, a miner at the Marvel Creek mine, little suspected that the accidental event of bad weather on a flight from Aniak to Anchorage would produce his first opportunity to help the stork. Because of poor flying conditions, the Ray Peterson Flying Service plane in which he was traveling was grounded at Squintna. While the passengers were waiting to get into the air again, Mrs. John Killian, wife of the CAA communicator at Squintna, gave birth to a son much sooner than was expected. Unfortunately, she had to do without the assistance of a doctor because the same bad weather prevented him from coming from Anchorage. However, veteran miner Charles Awe was equal to the occasion and took complete charge of the preparations, ably assisted by his wife and Mrs. Edward Durand of Squintna. When the doctor finally arrived on the scene, several hours later, the baby was born and mother and son were doing well. The Killians have named their son James Timothy, and in his baby book, the physician who attended his birth is listed as Dr. Charles Awe. A new chapter of the Alaska Crippled Children's Association was recently organized at Dillingham. Mrs. Ruth Palmer, former superintendent of nurses at the Alaska Native Service Hospital at Kanakanak, has been elected its president. Organization members have been busy carrying out various active programs which were outlined for the year. Following the recent membership drive, two candy sales and other sales projects were completed. The general meeting time for all members has been scheduled for the first Tuesday of each month. Antonio Paulette, grand president of the Pioneers of Alaska at Nome, has arranged for the biennial meeting of the Grand Igloo of the Pioneers of Alaska to take place on February 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. An extensive program has been planned, and pioneers from all over the territory are expected to attend. Paulette, who has been stopping in Juneau at a meeting of the Alaska Development Board, is now on his way to Nome to be there for the Pioneers Conference. The Reverend Mr. M.W. Day, pastor of the Federated Church at Nome, stopped in Fairbanks yesterday on his way to Anchorage, where he will attend to a few business matters. The Reverend Mr. Day, who came to Alaska from New York State, has been stationed at Nome since last May. Frank Kinney, an employee of Arctic Contractors and former resident of Manly Hot Springs, was severely injured last week in a gas explosion at Umiat, where he was working. Dr. A.J. Scheibel of Fairbanks made an emergency flight and returned with Kinney, who is now in St. Joseph's Hospital being treated for burns and cuts. At first, it was feared that Kinney had been blinded by the explosion, but latest reports inform us that he will recover the sight of both eyes. New arrivals at Curry this year are C.T. Larson and his bride. Larson is employed there by the Alaska Railroad. Mrs. Zellie Lavelle, a former resident of Nome and Anchorage, died in Seattle last month after being injured in an automobile accident. Esther Trodahl, who has been a nurse at the Tanana Hospital for the past few years, arrived in Fairbanks after a short vacation outside. She expects to leave for Tanana very soon. Mr. and Mrs. George King of Boundary and Blair and Josephine Miller, who are now in Fairbanks, may soon be entertaining Sir Hubert Wilkins, well-known Arctic explorer, who has recently arrived in town. Among the varied comings and goings of our northern neighbors, we note that Bob Byers of Manly Hot Springs, with his wife and son, made a recent visit to Jim and Grace Stevenson at Tanana. Byers is a pilot for the Lawn Brennan Air Service. And Margaret Bradford has returned to Dillingham from Seattle to attend to business matters in connection with the Lowe Trading Company, which she owns. Miss Bradford brought many hard-to-get items with her for customers in the Bristol Bay area. Northern Airways' scheduled trip to Crooked, or rather Birch Creek, and the flight due in from McGrath are holding at present because of the extreme cold in those sections. We'd better repeat that. Northern Airways' scheduled trip to Birch Creek and the flight due in from McGrath are holding at present because of the extreme cold in those sections. Every night except Sunday, listen for Tundra Topics, friendly, personal notes of interest about friends and neighbors throughout the territory. Whether it's a checking account or a business transaction, the Bank of Fairbanks is ready to help you. Write or drop in the Bank of Fairbanks at 2nd and Lacey. In the Alaskan spirit of neighborliness and goodwill, let's share another look at what's new among your neighbors in Alaska. At 9:30 o'clock, January 18, 1947, it's another edition of Tundra Topics, presented by the Bank of Fairbanks as another service to its many patrons all over the territory. Tundra Topics listeners will recall a story we told one evening last November about Roy Amugak, a Point Barrow resident who is currently working outside in New Jersey along the eastern seaboard. Amugak has written to us again and tells us that he is now at the Bloomfield Seminary preparing his translation of the Gospel of Mark from the English into the Eskimo language. At present, he informs us that the first draft has been completed, and when the final work is done, it will be published by the American Bible Society. As each book of the Bible is completed, it will be printed singly in this manner, and later on they will all be combined into one book. The Eskimo language, writes Amugak, is written phonetically, and the alphabet includes several of the English consonants, but only three vowels, I, U, and A. So far, these norms have been found sufficient to take care of the Eskimo sounds that we use in the English language, and they will greatly simplify the writing of the Eskimo language. In the Alaskan spirit of neighborliness and goodwill, let's share another look at what's new among your neighbors in Alaska. At 9:30 o'clock on January 18, 1947, we bring you another edition of Tundra Topics, presentation of the Bank of Fairbanks as another service to its many patrons all over the territory. Tundra Topics listeners will recall a story we told one evening last November about Roy Amugak, a Point Barrow resident who is currently working outside in New Jersey along the eastern seaboard. Amugak has written to us again and tells us that he is now at the Bloomfield Seminary preparing his translation of the Gospel of Mark from the English into the Eskimo language. At present, he informs us that the first draft has been completed, and when the final work is done, it will be published by the American Bible Society. As each book of the Bible is completed, it will be printed singly in this manner, and later on they will all be combined into one book. The Eskimo language, writes Amugak, is written phonetically, and the alphabet includes several of the English consonants, but only three vowels, I, U, and A. So far, these norms have been found sufficient to take care of the Eskimo sounds that we use in English, and they will greatly simplify the writing of the Eskimo language. According to Amugak, once the Eskimos learn the letters which take care of the individual sounds, they will have no trouble in either reading or writing the language. He plans to work on perfecting the phonetic alphabet as soon as he returns to Barrow, which he hopes will not be too far in the future, since he misses his family and his many Alaskan friends throughout the territory. Mrs. Jessie Patterson, another talented northerner, is currently exhibiting a group of pictures which she worked on in Kotzebue since taking over her teaching job there last fall. The group now on display includes both landscapes and life studies. Jerry Doyle, prospector and miner in the Manly Hot Springs District, returned home early last week with the Lawn Brennan Air Service, piloted by Bob Byers. Doyle was in town on a combined business and pleasure trip. Another Manly Hot Springs visitor to Fairbanks was Tony Lanning, mayor of the town, who arrived here last week to visit friends. Martin Olson, pioneer of Fairbanks and Dawson and the Iditarod, died December 29th in Tacoma, where he had lived for a number of years. While in the north, Olson mined on the El Dorado and Bonanza Creeks. He leaves a brother, Andrew Olson, at Arlington, Washington, and two sisters in Sweden. Congratulations are in order for Miss Judy Starr of Tananaw and Walter Wood of Rampart, who were married at Tananaw recently. Wood has been trapping and prospecting at Rampart for many years, and it is understood that the couple will live there. Mr. and Mrs. Jack Ferguson, former residents of Fort Yukon, have returned to Alaska after a 3-month vacation in the States. Their trip ranged from Vancouver, Canada, to California and then down to Tijuana, New Mexico. It was their first journey outside in 7 years, and they report that every minute was pleasant. The Fergusons have now settled in Anchorage and are employed by the NC Company there. Brother Hess and Miss Lillian Walker of the Holy Cross Mission will return home with Peterson Flying Service as soon as the cold weather breaks. Pilot Pat Bliss of Alaska Airlines, based at Nome, was reported as missing for 2 days this week on a flight from Golovana to Nome. Fears for his safety were allayed, however, when he was found safe at Bluff after a forced landing because of engine trouble. Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Edward Mayo of Rampart, to whom a son was born on Wednesday, January 15th, at St. Joseph's Hospital. The child weighed 6 pounds and 12 ounces at birth. Among the comings and goings of our Alaskan neighbors, we note that Miss C.C. Hyde, U.S. Commissioner at Nenana, is now stopping in Fairbanks and will be here until Monday, and Ikey Hayes, who's been spending the winter in McGrath, was a visitor to Anchorage last week. Bishop and Mrs. John B. Bentley are currently stopping in Fairbanks, and they expect to return to Nenana on Monday. Every night except Sunday, listen for Tundra Topics, friendly personal notes of interest about friends and neighbors throughout the territory. Whether it's a checking account or business transaction, the Bank of Fairbanks is ready to help you. Write or drop in. The Bank of Fairbanks, 2nd and Lacey.